Well, week by week, we're going through Mark's Gospel. And the account we are looking at tonight is the healing of Peter's mother-in-law in Mark 1, verses 29 to 31. Mark's central theme that he announces up front in the opening words of his Gospel, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So Mark wants to tell us good news that focuses upon this person, Jesus Christ. And our attention is directed tonight to a miracle that took place. It's still the Jewish Sabbath day, verse 29. Jesus and the disciples come out of the synagogue and they enter the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Notice that while Simon or Peter has left all to follow Jesus, that Peter is still the owner of his house. So while following Jesus means turning away from every idolatrous attachment, it means putting Jesus first, it doesn't necessarily mean handing over your house or all of your possessions. We shouldn't be deceived or hoodwinked or taken in by fringe cults and groups who say that necessarily that is what you must do. Peter still owned a house. While I was a pastor in Swansea, there was a group who persuaded large numbers in a congregation that they must hand over their houses and the ownership of their houses to the leader of the church. It caused terrible confusion when that leader was brought into disgrace and he left and took all these possessions that people had handed over to him, took them with him and disappeared. So we shouldn't be hoodwinked. Peter owned this house and Jesus went with his disciples into Peter's house. It seems to have been the headquarters where Jesus spent a lot of his time during this time in Galilee when he was preaching and teaching. But we read, verse 30, Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever and they told him about her at once. So obviously Peter had a wife. The Lord Jesus did not tell him to relinquish his house. And neither did he tell him to relinquish his wife. Imagine that. The first so-called pope was a married man. And his wife's mother was sick with a fever. And we're told they tell Jesus about her. And he came, took her by the hand, lifted her up, rebuked the fever, and immediately the fever left her. And when you put the sidelights from the various gospels side by side together, you see the picture where Peter's mother-in-law was lying in bed with a high fever, wet brow, delirious, a fever, obviously a sick woman. Lord Jesus stood over her, reached out to her, touched her, raised her up. And when he rebuked the fever, immediately the fever left her. And not only does the fever leave, but she's given strength and recuperative power. She's immediately able to get up and work. And it's a miracle. There's not a natural explanation for what happens here. Jesus releases her from the grip of the fever and also returns her to her full ordinary level of strength. She's immediately able to minister to the needs of others. Mark says, verse 31, and she served them. Probably she prepared the meal that they'd been hoping for on coming back from the synagogue. And Mark says, in this domestic miracle, where Peter's mother-in-law is released from this fever, we see the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I want to see three characteristics with you tonight where Jesus displays, yes, essential elements of the good news. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, good news that we desperately need to hear and continually need to hear. And the first thing I want us to look at is what we could term the accessibility of Jesus. Accessibility. Jesus is available. We can come to him. We can go to him. You can go to him tonight. It's after the events recorded in the synagogue that Jesus goes into this home. Jesus has been preaching with authority, casting out an unclean spirit, There's everything that suggests he anticipated going to Peter's home where he would have a meal and rest. Rest after the demands of a busy day in the synagogue. And every preacher feels some draining effect in preaching. Sadly, there are some so-called preachers in this country who don't really believe the Bible, and their commitment to God's truth demands little of them at all because they don't really believe the Bible. But those who preach and know the power and authority of God's word know that it makes certain demands on a preacher. And when we read in verse 22 that Jesus taught as one having authority, whatever else was involved in that, the Spirit of God acting upon the sanctified humanity of Jesus meant that he exerted himself in preaching and casting out the unclean spirit. And there are clear examples in the Gospels for us where we see that Jesus was an animated preacher. John 7:37, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." So in preaching with authority, he was engaged in that, his whole being. And there was an emotional impact of that word as he brought the word of God to other people. So it's recorded, for example, Jesus shuddered with holy anger on one occasion at the hardness of the hearts of men and women. On another occasion, when he sobbed and wept as the word of God was rejected. And so there's every indication here. Jesus leaves the synagogue, goes to Peter's home, and the expectation is he'll rest and have a meal. And the disciples with Jesus too, probably as they make their way to Peter's home, they all anticipate that that is what was going to happen. If ever Jesus could have been excused from being accessible and available to people, surely this was the time. Tired after preaching, teaching with authority, casting out an unclean spirit. But when it's discovered that Peter's mother-in-law is held in the grip of a fever, when the disciples come and tell Jesus, Mark says they told him about her at once. And we have a picture then of the fact that Jesus is accessible to them. He's available to them. He's open to them. The disciples instinctively knew, no matter how drained he was, in the face of that human need, Jesus would be open. He'd be accessible. He'd be available to them. They feel at liberty to come and tell him about this woman. In the language of Luke, they made request of him concerning her, and they did not get an engaged tone. They didn't get a look of indifference. They didn't get a sigh of irritation that he wasn't going to be able to rest. What they found was an accessible, open, inviting, gracious Savior. If you had some big problem and you tried tonight to go to Buckingham Palace to see the Queen, you want to speak to the Queen about this big problem you have, but the Queen will not be accessible to you. You won't get past the guards on the gates of Buckingham Palace. If you've got a big problem and you think, I'll go and see Theresa May, I'll go and see the Prime Minister, I'll go to 10 Downing Street, you won't get anywhere near that front door. There are big bars across 10 Downing Street now. There was a time, years and years ago, you could actually walk up Downing Street. Some of you can remember that. You can't now. You won't get anywhere near 10 Downing Street. The Queen is not accessible to you. The Prime Minister is not accessible to you. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Mark says, he is accessible to you. You can go to him. And he won't turn you away. As he was then, so tonight. It's a wonderful thing that we can preach good news to people that Jesus Christ is presently open, available, accessible to you. So whatever fever rages in your heart, whatever fever of human sin or need or problem you have, you will never find Jesus Christ saying to you that he's too busy or too tired or can't be accessible to you. Where is Jesus now? Seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Seated in all the power of an endless life. high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You find him in his never-wearying power of resurrection life, and he's accessible to you. He will not turn you away. For yourself or the needs of loved ones or friends or whoever it is, they told him about her. And he was open to them. And accessible to you tonight as an individual if you come to him in faith. Confess your needs to him, your sins to him. Every promise, every indication of the Bible is that if you go to him and tell him the need of your heart, he'll welcome you. He's accessible to you. He'll cleanse you. He'll save you. Here's good news, says Mark. There is a Saviour for you tonight, accessible, available, open to you. The accessibility of Jesus Christ. Then secondly, the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. They told him about her. What was her name? The only thing we know about her is what we're told here in these verses. And she's just called Simon's wife's mother. Unnamed. And yet this unnamed, unsung, unremarkable person. Yet the moment the Lord Jesus Christ hears of her need, he comes. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her. The compassion, condescension, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark is saying to you tonight, with Jesus there are no little people, no inconsequential people, no nobodies. Now in this world you might find a president, a queen, a prime minister available to people who are of great consequence. But for Jesus, where there are people in need, there's an available, an accessible Saviour. And he'll show his compassion to whoever it is, men and women in need. Even if the world doesn't know your name, Jesus knows your name. He came to where she was. He stood over her. He identified with her. He took her by the hand. He lifted her up. It was all sovereign compassion. He met her in her need. Until all who saw this mighty miracle couldn't deny a great miracle had been done. And the Bible says, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So his compassion tonight reaches out to human need, to contact human need. So you come tonight. We all come with different needs, different problems, different sins, different things that concern us and worry us. Will the Jesus be available and compassionate to me, to you? Mark says, here's good news. Jesus Christ is available to you. He's accessible to you and he's full of compassion. He can meet that need. His heart is moved in the face of human need. He's the one who draws near to you if you cry out to him and who takes you by the hand and lifts you up. It was the same compassion that caused him to go in even to the dark depths of the cross of Calvary. That's why I wanted us to sing that great hymn, Oh, the Deep, Deep Love of Jesus. What's that love of Jesus like? What's his compassion like? Vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Underneath me, all around me, is the current of your love, leading onward, leading homeward to my glorious rest above. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, love of every love, the best. What's the best love? What's the best compassion for you tonight? Mark is saying, the compassion of Jesus. There is nothing to compare with the love of this Saviour. It's an ocean vast of blessing. It's a haven, a place where you can find rest in all the turmoil of life. It's a haven sweet. of rest. The accessibility of the Lord Jesus Christ, the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, the omnipotence of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a captivating simplicity about the gospel. The Lord Jesus stands over this woman held in the grip of a high fever. He takes her hand, he lifts her up, he rebukes the fever, and immediately the fever is gone. Her temperature is back to normal. She rises up with full strength. It's as if she's never been ill. And the Lord Jesus displays to her and the witnesses and to everyone in that household that the same word that can speak to a demon-possessed man and say, be quiet, be muzzled, and come out of him. And that demon-possessed man was delivered and set free. It's the same word that spoke at creation when Jesus spoke and said, let there be light. And there was light. Can speak to the demon-possessed man, he's delivered. Can say to a high fever, be gone. And immediately the fever leaves. The woman who felt the drain of that fever on her body was restored well again. Immediately. No process, no long ritual. Just gracious, compassionate, healing omnipotence. She's brought back to strength and health again. It's good news, says Mark. Jesus is available to you tonight. He's compassionate towards you. He reaches out to people in need. But there is this too. He's omnipotent. He can do something about the need. He can actually meet the need. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. And we come tonight, yes, not held in the grip of a high fever, but there may be a fever of lust, a fever of pride, a fever of envy, a fever of greed, a fever of jealousy, a fever of bitterness, the fever of a crippling grief, the fever of a painful memory, the fever of a haunted conscience.